بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading concerning our beliefs in Aqaid. Today we read beliefs regarding the Barzakh. The literal meaning of Barzakh is veil. The meaning of the realm of Barzakh is the realm where man will be from death until Qiyamah. In other words, the time, from the time a person passes away till Qiyamah is called Barzakh. Due to the fact it is hidden from our present realm, it is called Barzakh. Barzakh is not the name of a particular place. After death, wherever the human body is, whether it be scattered or in one place, that is Barzakh for that person. At the time of death, the soul is taken out from the body. The soul is never destroyed. It needs a special place and abode. When the deceased is placed in the grave, then the soul is returned to the body for questioning. A relationship between the body and soul is established, such a relationship that will allow it to feel reward and punishment. When a person passes away, two angels appear before him. This is irrespective of whether he has been buried or not. One is called Munkar and the other is called Nakir. These angels question the deceased as follows: Who is your Rabb? In other words, who is your creator and sustainer? What is your deen, religion? And who is this person, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If the deceased was an upright person, he will answer correctly. Thereafter, he will enjoy all forms of comfort and ease. If he was not upright, then he will answer, I do not know. He will then undergo great difficulty and punishment. There are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exempts from this trial, that is, for example, the Anbiya alayhi salam, the martyrs and Muslim children. Only the deceased are aware of these occurrences. We cannot witness it as it is in a different realm. This is just like a person who is sleeping and he sees many things in his dream, while a person next to him in a state of wakefulness is totally oblivious of his condition. Belief number two. All the non-believers and some Muslims are punished in the grave. The punishments and rewards in the life of Barzakh are meted out to soul and body. Belief number three. When one makes dua for the deceased or spends charity on his behalf, the rewards of such actions reach the deceased and they attain great benefit by means of it. If the deceased was being punished, then these good deeds lighten or terminate his punishment. If he is not being punished, then these actions cause his status to be elevated. Only the Muslim deceased benefit from this. Dead non-Muslims do not benefit in any way whatsoever. Actually, we have missed out the beliefs concerning the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, we will read that tomorrow. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 11th para was recited. The first quarter of the 11th para is the completion of Surah At-Tawbah, also called Surah Al-Bara'ah. It was explained yesterday that the main subject matter in the surah is concerning extensive details concerning the laws of jihad, and mention was made also of many battles. The latter portion of the 11th of the 10th para, which was recited the day night before, that was concerning the Battle of Tabuk, and it was explained that this was the last expedition which occurred in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It occurred in the 9th year of Hijri, and the journey was very long towards the outskirts of the Arabian Peninsula on the borders of Sham, where the Romans and the Christians were based. And the season was very hot. It was intensely there was intense heat, and also it was time for the harvesting of the crop on which the livelihood of many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum depended also, and the enemy also a very powerful nation. So when the call of jihad was made to go to Tabuk, then the munafiqeen, who did not wish to participate in this battle, but the order had been given in a general form, that all have to proceed. But they then, one group of them, they presented and they secured their permission not to go by presenting false excuses. They were excused, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his kindness and compassionate nature, gave them permission not to participate. But there was another group of the munafiqeen who did not secure their permission before the Muslims departed. So they decided when the Muslims will return, then they will present their excuses, their false excuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning this already before the Muslims reached and returned back to Medina en route. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed. The first ayat of the 11th para is in this regard. Allah ta'ala says, يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ. They referring to the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, Allah ta'ala says, they will present their excuses to you when you return to them. Tell them, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. Don't make excuses. لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكُمْ. We will never believe you. قَدْ نَبَّأَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَخْبَارِكُمْ. Because Allah Ta'ala has informed us of your condition and your condition of hypocrisy, and also that your excuses are not valid and they are just feeble excuses. Further on, in contrast to that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention of the sincere mu'mineen who, despite all the difficult conditions at the time of the call of jihad for Tabuk, they responded immediately. Allah Ta'ala says, those who are amongst those Sahaba who were right in the front, the forerunners from the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and those who followed them with sincerity, Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This verse indicates the great status and rank of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who had been given the title that of radiallahu anhum, that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything of the past and of the future. And Allah Ta'ala yet declares this for them, shows their high rank, that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. And this also refutes the claim of the Shias and the Rawafid, who say that after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum got involved in kufr again, and they left the fold of Islam. They don't realize that they are actually challenging the clear order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is not such that he was unaware of what will transpire later on. Yet he declared, radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the sincere mu'mineen who also did not participate in the battle of Tabuk, and they did not have really any excuse also to do so. They just kept on procrastinating and delaying joining the Muslim army to such an extent that the Muslim army had made their preparations and had departed. But then they regretted seeing that only those people are left in Medina who are actually excused, the weak, the sick, the invalids, and the hypocrites. And what are we doing here? We're supposed to be joining the Muslim army, but it was now too late. So anyway, from amongst them, besides three, the rest of them, which were all total, all in about 10, so about 7 of them, they decided that they will tie themselves to the pillars of the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they resolve not to untie themselves again till their tawbah is not accepted. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned with the Muslims back to Medina, then he inquired, why are these people tied against the pillars? And he was informed of their condition, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that, by Allah, I also will not untie them till I am commanded to do so by Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, then the verses concerning the acceptance of their tawbah were revealed, and then they were untied, and their matter was completed, and their tawbah was accepted. However, the remaining three, that was Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Hilal radiallahu anhu, and Murara ibn Rabi radiallahu anhu, these were the three Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they did not tie themselves to the pillars, although they also did not have any excuse. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, they expressed and acknowledged their mistake and their weakness in not joining the Muslim army, and they did not make any excuses this way and that way, and they acknowledged their mistake. Their matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, was delayed and postponed till the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came concerning them, and for about 50 days they were completely boycotted by the Muslims of Madinatul Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their condition, that it was such that as if the whole earth had become constricted and narrow upon them, and they thought that there is now no way, and they were convinced but there is no place for refuge for them from Allah Ta'ala but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for 50 days this was their condition, and then the announcement of the tawbah was made directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the tawbah was accepted. Allah subhanahu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu that this day where your tawbah has now been accepted is better for you even than the day that your mother gave birth to you. So that incident is also mentioned here. And in between, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of a great conspiracy of the munafiqeen, which also occurred during the days when the Muslims were preparing to go to Tabuk. And it is concerning the incident which is normally known as the incident of Masjid al-Dirar. Anyway, the incident was that a Christian by the name of Abu Rahib was residing in Madinatul Munawwara. He had great enmity for the Muslims, and he was adamant and he was obstinate in from accepting the truth. Then, seeing that his opposition to the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara was to no avail, and it did not stop the progress of the Muslims and Islam from Madinatul Munawwara. So he left Madinatul Munawwara and joined up with the Christians in Sham at that time, and with the intention that he will try and convince the Christian leaders there that they must now assemble an army and fight against the Muslims and finish them off. So in this regard, he kept on communicating with the munafiqeen of Madinatul Munawwara, and somehow he influenced them that they should now prepare a base from where they can plot and plan against the Muslims and store their weapons there and prepare the groundwork that when eventually the Roman army will come, then it will be easy for them to annihilate and destroy the Muslims. So in this, for this purpose, the munafiqeen, they built a structure near Quba, where the Masjid of Quba is, just on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, and on the pretext that it is a masjid. And their main objective was not that it be a masjid, but it be a base against which they can plot and plan against the Muslims and Islam in general. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the evil plans of these munafiqeen in this ayat, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا. And these ayats were revealed when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Tabuk. So when these people built this masjid, at that time the Muslims were still preparing to go for Tabuk. And to disguise and camouflage their evil intentions, these munafiqeen approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and invited him to come and inaugurate their masjid by performing a salat there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since being making preparations for Tabuk, told them that we will see later on. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed for Tabuk, and on the return these ayahs were revealed, where the evil intentions was made known. Allah Ta'ala says, those people who have made a masjid, it was a masjid just by name, but for the purpose of harming the Muslims, and to promote their kufr, and to create disunity amongst the mu'mineen, and in preparation and anticipation for that person who is at war, who was at war with Allah and His Rasul from before, referring to that Christian by the name of Abu Rahib. So these munafiqeen, they had built this masjid on the pretext that the old masjid of Quba, the present name Quba Masjid, is not really easily accessible to those who are weak and those who are staying at a distance from there, and it cannot accommodate all the people of that area. That's why we are building a new masjid. So outwardly they made it known that the intentions were clear and pure. But inwardly they had evil intentions. Allah Ta'ala disclosed their evil intentions in this verse. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately then dispatched a group of the Sahaba, even before reaching Madinatul Munawwara, and told them that they must raise that whole structure to the ground. Those Sahaba radiallahu anhum did so, and then the evil intentions of these munafiqeen was disclosed, and in this way they were humiliated. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تقوم فيه أبدا. Don't ever stand in prayer in that masjid. That masjid, in other words, referring to the actual masjid of Quba, whose foundations have been built on taqwa from the very first day, that masjid is even more worthy to stand in prayer therein. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the masjid of taqwa and the people who reside there. Allah ta'ala also praises them that they are such people who love that they remain completely pure. When asked, why did Allah ta'ala reveal this verse concerning you, in other words the people of Quba, then it was made known that when they made istinja, they took their great precautions and not only used the mud clots, but also used water through which they used to acquire great taharat and purity at the time of istinja. From this we come to know also the importance that we should take all the necessary precautions when making istinja, because without proper istinja, taharat cannot be properly attained, and this will affect our salat and all our other ibadat also. The manner of istinja also, we should learn how it should be done, especially for males, when it comes to the drops of urine which normally still remain after a person relieves himself, how they must be taken out, or else a person's salat can also be affected when he doesn't acquire proper taharat. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the ayat, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. That it is not correct, it is not permissible for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also for the believers that they ask forgiveness for the mushrikeen, although they might be their close relatives. This verse was revealed at the time when the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, who after the demise of the mother and also the grandfather of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into his care and custody and looked after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that people thought Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be his own son, and he even looked after them better than his own children. But it was Allah's decree that he was not blessed with iman. Despite Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts and persuasion, but yet he did not openly declare, and despite him being inclined to iman also, but yet was not blessed with iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his uncle passed away, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I will continue making istighfar for my uncle till I am prohibited to do so. And then this verse was revealed where it was mentioned that those who don't pass away on iman, it is not permissible to make istighfar for them, even though they might be your close relatives. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the verse, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That, O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inculcate within yourself the quality of taqwa. And as elsewhere also in the Quran and Majeed, when Allah Ta'ala gives this command, Allah Ta'ala also gives an indication of how to acquire this quality. Here it is mentioned, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That stay with the sadiqeen. In other words, keep the company of the sadiqeen. The sadiqeen are those who are truthful in every regard, in their intentions, in their actions, in their words, and the inner and outer self are in harmony with one another. Their outer and inner condition does not belie or contradict one another. These are the true sadiqeen, whom we call the awliya, the Allah walas, and those who have a close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay in their company, and very quickly you will get this quality of taqwa, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to acquire. We have the conditions where we have the Allah wala in our midst. Therefore we should take maximum benefit from this. And then inshallah we'll get this quality of taqwa. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that at the time of jihad, when the obligation is not on an every individual, it is not farz-a'in, but it is farz-a-kifaya, then all the mu'mineen should not all at once simultaneously proceed for jihad. A group should remain engaged in the study of the knowledge of deen and get proficiency in the knowledge of deen and a deep understanding of deen, so that they can then inform those who had proceeded for jihad when they return. So from this, the great virtue and significance of acquiring the knowledge of deen is also mentioned here, that just as it is necessary to break the strength of the kuffar and the enemies of Islam through jihad, similarly, it is also necessary that the foundations of Islam should be strengthened, upon which the entire structure of deen and Islam also rests and depends upon. And that is the knowledge of deen. An Islamic state, to run an Islamic state, there are many departments, there is a need for judges, there is a need for governors, there is a need for people in administration, and all this is acquired through the knowledge of deen, how properly to execute the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on ground level. So the importance of this is mentioned here, that even for jihad, all must not go. A group should remain engaged in the acquiring of the knowledge of deen. Further on, the surah then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, mentions some qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi, that a Rasul has come to you from amongst yourself, azizun alayhi ma'anittum, that it is distressful for him, for the difficulties with which you are afflicted, and he is harisun alaykum, he is very anxious that good must come to you, and bil mu'mineena ra'ufur rahim, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is most kind and compassionate and merciful to the mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make us realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always concerned about the welfare of his of the ummah at large, and those qualities which are normally attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ra'ufur rahim. Here Allah ta'ala uses this to describe the condition of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. According to Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, these last two verses of Surah Tawbah were actually the last verses which were revealed in the Quran Majeed. There are other opinions of other Sahaba radiallahu anhum also as to which ayats were the last ayats which were revealed. The next surah is Surah Yunus, and the entire para from here on comprises of the surah, Surah Yunus, being a Makki surah. Here also the fundamentals of deen have been explained, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various ways mentions the proofs of Tawheed and the great Qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning many of His creations. Allah ta'ala explains the creation of the skies and the earth, the creation of the sun and the moon, and the purpose of their creation, and also the alternation of day and night. All these to make us realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the Khaliq, is the creator of all this. And that one who, and the one who is the Khaliq, only he should be worshipped. How is it that even the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they never attribute the creation of these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their idols, or whom they ascribe as partners to Allah ta'ala. But when it comes to worship, they worship other deities also besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jo Khaliq hai, wahi ma'bood banne ke laik hai. The one who is the creator, only he is worthy of being the ma'bood, one who will be worshipped, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala then mentions also in this surah, Allah ta'ala mentions the aqaid of resurrection, that is now Allah ta'ala's raising everybody again after death on the day of Qiyamah, the aqaid concerning that, and also the truthfulness and the veracity of the Quran Majeed is also explained in detail in the surah. A inherent weakness of mankind, Allah Ta'ala also mentions that when man is afflicted with adversity or in a hardship and difficulty, Allah Ta'ala says, Da'ana. He calls out to us while lying down, while sitting, and while standing, in other words, in all conditions. But Allah Ta'ala says, man is such that falamma kashafna anhu durrahu, when we remove the difficulty with which he had been afflicted, then he continues, in other words, in his acts of transgression and disobedience and kufr, ta'allam yad'una ila durrim massa, as if he had never called out to us previously at the time when that affliction, when he was afflicted with that difficult condition. Very quickly he forgets. And Allah Ta'ala then describes the condition when people are afflicted with the difficulty of being in a ship and they run into stormy waters, there is a fear of the ship sinking. At that time, even the mushrikeen, they forget all their deities and they only call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance and they promise that, oh Allah, if you grant us salvation from this difficult conditions, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ, we will definitely be from amongst those who are grateful. In other words, we will bring iman. But Allah Ta'ala says, when we alleviate that difficulty from them, and we bring them safely to shore again, they go back to their old ways. This is what, how the level of ingratitude the people are, the mushrikeen particular are in, that they forget that they had called only to Allah Ta'ala at the time of distress, but yet they forget later on. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions the veracity of the Quran Majid, these people claim that the Quran Majid is not the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is man-made. Allah Ta'ala says, if this is your claim, then bring forth a surah like that of the Quran Majid, which can match the Quran Majid in its beauty, in its eloquence, and in all its other great qualities. And if you want, take the help of all others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are truthful in your claim. But this challenge has never been met and will never be met, although the Arabs were very proud to be greatly skilled in their language, in their eloquence and oratory skills, but yet nobody took up this challenge and it will never be taken up. Therefore, this reflects the truthfulness of the Quran Majid, that it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Towards the end of the surah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of, in between also concerning the Quran Majid, Allah Ta'ala mentions the qualities of the Quran Majid, that, O mankind, a advice has come to you from your Rabb, the Quran Majid, and it is a cure for all those things which are in your hearts, all the conditions of doubt, of disbelief, and spiritual ailments with which your hearts are afflicted with. The Quran Majid is a cure for that. The third quality, wahudan, and it is a means of guidance for all of mankind. Wa rahmatun, and it is a source of mercy for the mu'mineen, a source of rahmat from Allah Ta'ala for the mu'mineen. Then some incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salam are again mentioned here, the incident of Nuh alayhi salam, and then the incident of Musa alayhi salam, and his encounters with Fir'aun, and also with his nation, the Bani Israel, are mentioned here. And then the last incident mentioned here is that of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, for which the surah has been given its name, Surah Yunus. The incident of Nuh alayhi salam, his people refused to accept the message of haq, of truth, with the result that Yunus alayhi salam warned them that if they don't accept and don't respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will be afflicted with a punishment, and he warned them that the punishment will come. And being convinced that the punishment of Allah Ta'ala was now to come, he left the city where his nation used to be residing without the express command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that now that punishment is going to come. And even the signs of the punishment were quite apparent, and Yunus alayhi salam then left, thinking that now the punishment will definitely destroy the nation. But on the other hand, his people, realizing and seeing that Yunus alayhi salam has also left us, and some signs of the punishment are approaching us, they made sincere tawbah, they cried and they repented sincerely. Allah Ta'ala accepted their repentance and they became mu'min, and that punishment was averted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that no other nation or no other town was such that they brought iman, that the iman was beneficial for them, besides the nation of Yunus alayhi salam. When the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to descend on any nation, then the doors of Tawbah for that nation are closed, and the bringing iman is also not beneficial. But this was an exception, and then punishment was removed, and because they made Tawbah sincerely. The incident further goes on, and Yunus alayhi salam boards a ship, it runs into trouble, fear of sinking, and the sailors say that it seems that a person, a slave, has ran away from his master, that is why we are in trouble. And Yunus alayhi salam realized that they were referring to him, and he is cast into the ocean, and with the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a fish takes it into, swallows Yunus alayhi salam, and with the qudrat of Allah ta'ala, for about 40 days, Yunus alayhi salam is kept alive in the belly of the fish, and eventually the fish then takes out Yunus alayhi salam, on land, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Yunus alayhi salam. For this reason, Yunus alayhi salam is also called elsewhere in the Quran Majeed, the Noon, the person of the fish. So this was the incident of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. The last page was part of the beginning of Surah Hud. Inshallah, we will discuss that tomorrow.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله عز وجل أنا عند ظن عبدي بي وأنا معه حين يذكرني إن ذكرني في نفسه ذكرته في نفسه وإن ذكرني في ملأ ذكرته في ملأ هم خير منهم إلى آخر الحديث رواه مسلم. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ حق تعالی شانہ ارشاد فرماتے ہیں کہ میں بندہ کے ساتھ ویسا ہی معاملہ کرتا ہوں جیسا کہ وہ میرے ساتھ گمان رکھتا ہے, اور جب وہ مجھے یاد کرتا ہے تو میں اس کے ساتھ ہوتا ہوں, پس اگر وہ مجھے اپنے دل میں یاد کرتا ہے میں بھی اس کو اپنے دل میں یاد کرتا ہوں, اور اگر وہ میرا مجمع میں ذکر کرتا ہے تو میں اس مجمع سے بہتر یعنی فرشتوں کے مجمع میں جو معصوم اور بے گناہ ہے تذکرہ کرتا ہوں. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, Almighty Allah جل جلالہ says, I deal with my slave according to his expectations from me, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me in his heart, I remember him in privacy, and if he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him, make mention of him in a nobler and much more better gathering of Anbiya and great angels. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Almighty Allah jalla jalaluhu says, I deal with my slave according to his expectations from me, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me in his heart, I remember him in privacy, and if he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him, make mention of him in a nobler and much better gathering of the Anbiya and the great angels.